Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. This is a special Thanksgiving edition of our podcast. I'm your host and women's pastor, Lisa Scheffler, and I'm here with Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, the Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Campus Pastor Mark Wyatt. The guys are all back this week, and we're focusing our conversation around gratitude and what we are all thankful for. And you know, we are thankful for you, our dear listeners, and we hope that this conversation encourages you to express your gratitude to God. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We're so excited. This is a special episode. We are going to talk a little bit about gratitude in light of the fact that Thanksgiving is next week. And also our Thanksgiving share service is this weekend. So we are here with Mark and Bruce, and Jaime is calling in. He's working from home today, but he was kind enough to call in. Jaime, say hi to everybody.
Hi, family, Christ Fellowship family. Hi, guys in the studio there.
Yes, so we've got Jaime on the line, so we're all here together, which is awesome. And Bruce, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Thanksgiving share service? How did it get started? What is it for people who might be new?
Yeah, back when we were first starting, it was just, you know, a handful of us really all together, we thought, let's take Thanksgiving like you would in a big family and go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? And it actually echoes back for me back when I was a kid growing up, and Gene Getz, who is my major mentor, started a new church called Fellowship Bible Church, and the theme was fellowship. And there would be two services, a teaching worship service like we do, and then they would have what they called a sharing service after a break for donuts and coffee, which was awesome, get us all sugared up. And then we would go in, and people would just share. And it was so powerful back in the 70s, early 80s. And so we started it, and then we thought, well, when we become a big church, probably this won't work. Mm-hmm. And yet we've kept doing it. And frankly, as new people have come and along the lines, people have said, gosh, isn't it a little scary to have open microphones? Who knows what someone might say? And of course, that's always there. But you know what? Every year, it's so rich, mm-hmm. so powerful. And it's been really honoring to the Lord and encouraging to everybody to hear what God has done through person after person after person. And there's just something powerful about being unscripted.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to come to the microphone. You don't know what they're going to say. And in a world where everything feels so produced, so scripted, so maybe manipulated even through photographs and video and recordings, this is real.
Yeah. Yeah. And we sing praise songs, and it's just a really fun service. It's one of my favorites, one of the high points of the year for me. So let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. You know, it's the big holiday where we all eat a lot of food and watch a lot of football. And I got a thumbs up from both the guys here for both of those. But, you know, honestly, Thanksgiving, the practice of gratitude is so important in the life of everybody. Even secular psychologists will say that practicing gratitude just helps you be a more happy, well-adjusted, positive person. It just helps you deal with life struggles. But my question is, if you don't believe in God, who are you grateful to? We want to be grateful to the actual creator and provider and sustainer of life. So let's talk a little bit about that, about why cultivating a spirit of gratitude is so important in the Christian life. And Jaime, I'm going to start with you. Since you're on the phone, I'm going to actually call you out so you know I'm talking to you.
Sounds good, yeah. Well, you know, when I think about gratitude, I usually think that it doesn't come natural to us. That's my first thought. You know, naturally, we're not just grateful people. We're really good at complaining and grumbling and pulling out the negative most of the time. But gratitude is actually a spiritual discipline. It's a practice. You use the word "it's a practice" right now. Gratitude is almost it's a spiritual discipline where we practice it. We learn to grow into it because, like I said, by human nature, our depravity usually ends up complaining and grumbling. Mm-hmm. And as we come to Christ and we are brought to new life in Christ Jesus, we recognize that every blessing we have, every good deed, every good favor towards our life comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about when you're grateful, you're recognizing your dependence on that person who gave you favor.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the more we live our life in Christ and we learn about God's gratefulness, goodness towards us, it sows up great gratitude in our lives. So there's a sense of why cultivating attitude is important, because it helps us to be able to see God's immenseness in our lives, in our own lives.
Yes. And it is so easy to, like you said, to grumble and complain. Everything can be perfect in your life, or at least good. And yet that one thing that's off, or that one thing that's irritating you, can just take over your whole mindset. And all of a sudden you're frustrated, angry, grumbling, irritable, lashing out at other people because of one sort of irritant in your life, and neglecting all the many gifts that God has given us. What do you think, Mark? Why is gratitude important to you personally? I love Jaime's mention that it's a practice. Like, you don't have to feel it.
Right. I think that's right. And I think Jaime's very correct that that's not my natural position. I'm normally will, if something's going on, that'll take my focus and I forget it. You lose perspective. I do. And I think remembering to be grateful actually produces a better perspective, a holistic perspective about life. And that changes my attitude, changes the attitude. And I noticed that when I'm around grateful people, one of them's Phil Bendicott, who's at the Anna campus. He's always being a very positive and grateful person. And you're around somebody like you really want to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, too, if I think about my kids, I take a different perspective when they're grumbling about stuff. You know, it's unpleasant. You're like, man, you don't know all the stuff that's going on that's positive for you. But when they say thank you to me or my wife, I that really warms me up.
Yeah.
And I think about the same thing, all the things that God has done for us, done for me. And that perspective changes my perspective in life. And I know that's got to be recognition of his, not my deserving of things, but the gifts that he's given to me that I didn't deserve.
Yes. Yes. That's a good point. Bruce, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think that you guys are right on saying who's the giver of the gifts. And ironically, we can be giving thanks for things that could then actually take us into idolatry, because yes, we're grateful for those things, but we're really grateful for the giver of the people in our lives, the good things in our lives. And so I think it's an opportunity to really remember who is the giver of all good things.
Yeah. Otherwise, we are so tossed by the circumstances of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have a perspective that includes a good, loving, powerful God who has redeemed us, then you really are at the mercy of how your day went, you know, from the big things to the small things. And it is harder, I think, to cultivate that attitude of gratitude. Okay, so we've already hit some of this, but some of the roadblocks we encounter is just a lack of perspective in recognizing what is good. And I think it's not always easy to remember what God has done in the past. It seems like we have short memories, you know, and that's something that the Bible points out, particularly with Israel. You know, God's always having them like build monuments. You know, there's these passages where he's like, and then build this, you know, or Abraham's always building these little altars as he goes around. And part of that is just to remember, to say, okay, this is a remembrance of what God has done. What has God delivered me from? And so I can always look back and remember. What are some other obstacles that we might encounter, and how can we, you know,
I think another obstacle that has somehow become worse is comparison.
Mm.
And so if I put it more in biblical terms, I'd say envy and coveting.
No one wants to admit to that, Bruce.
But you look at what someone else has and you have all these good things, all these blessings, but someone else has a little nicer car. Someone else went on a little better vacation. You went to a 4-star resort. They went to a 5-star resort.
Mm-hmm.
And you then lose gratitude and thankfulness, and you stay in the, gosh, I wish I had what they had, or their kids have, or what their marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook and Instagram give us the ability to compare ourselves, not just with the neighbor that we see, but with all these
people.
The
whole world.
The whole world. And it ruins us. And so then we live in grumbling and complaining and in wishing we had something someone else has, rather than being content and grateful and thankful for what God's given to us.
Yeah. I think it can be, I mean, at times it's material things and it can be a little superficial, but at times it can be very damaging to relationships. You know, when you look at other people's kids and go, gosh, I wish my kid was the star of the soccer team.
Right.
Or I wish my kid was on the honor roll. Mm-hmm. Or you look at someone's marriage and go, oh my goodness, look how he treats her. Why doesn't my husband do X? Then that can really cause serious damage to your relationships, because people will feel that. They'll feel that they're not living up to your expectations, and then that can be really damaging.
I think another obstacle to gratitude is this idea of self-conceit. You know, I deserve this. Mm. I worked hard. I put in the hours. I put in overtime, or I did this and that. It's my own strength, or you owe me. So, you know, yeah, when I come home, I expect there to be a meal on the table. I don't need to say thank you, or I have this idea that I'm owed something, or I've worked for it, and there's no need for me to show gratitude because of the self-conceit idea notion that I can provide for myself, or I can do this on my own.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Good point.
Yeah, I think Time is correct there. We tend to be in a society that feels entitled in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, you start getting a sour attitude because you feel like you were cheated or robbed out of something.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that, that's not looking at God in perspective, that everything, your life itself is a gift, that you're breathing today. And I can be in that too. And I think another thing for me is that what is going on at the moment consume like your life? It's like, okay, maybe you're facing a difficulty at that time and you're not thinking of the future. You're thinking, this is all there is.
Yeah.
It's right now. And you're not thinking, okay, you know what? Whatever I'm facing is going to pass. And my ultimate future is resting secure.
Yes.
It is a loss of eternal perspective. Ingratitude in my own life is to lose perspective about the bigger picture and not just whatever's facing me at the moment.
Yeah. And that leads right into like some verses. I was thinking as you were talking, Mark, about Philippians 4 through 7, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then this is the key. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I think that's part of the key is if we're overwhelmed by the anxiety of the moment and we're not recognizing the role gratitude and thankfulness can play in calming our anxieties, in bringing us out of that mindset of everything's terrible, everything's going downhill, how will this ever get better? I mean, fear can just be all consuming.
Right.
But when we focus on gratitude, it focuses us, first of all, on God, the giver, and it reminds us that we had things to be thankful for in the past, we have things to be thankful for now, and we will have things to be thankful for in the future. And right. So we turn that all over to the Lord.
Right.
So on the subject of verses, any other verses that come to mind when you think about gratitude and thankfulness that you want to share with people?
I think about the verses we read in Colossians that mirror the ones in Philippians you read.
Mm-hmm.
Both those letters, strikingly, Paul was in a Roman prison, and yet he's thankful.
Yes.
And he's grateful. And that appears throughout the book of Colossians that we just studied, as well as Philippians. And it reminds me of what you said, Lisa, that gratitude and thankfulness are a practice or a discipline, not necessarily a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we think we're supposed to feel grateful or thankful, and sometimes we do. But I have found it's a mental rut. And the mental rut you can get into is complaining and grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's terrible and life's awful. And I don't know about you, but I meet folks where that's pretty much how they are all the time.
Yeah.
It's like everything's bad. And what it is it's a mental rut you fall into.
Yes.
And if you could begin the practice of every day thinking about what you're grateful for. And Tamara and I in our marriage have a practice of saying out loud to each other, I'm just so thankful for, you know, the beautiful sunrise today, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Or this great cup of coffee that I'm having.
Exactly. I
mean, you know, it can be small things.
And of course, our wonderful chocolate lab, Calvin.
Yes.
But yeah.
It was a blessing always.
And always we have to be thankful for the Lord.
Yes.
And like Mark said, for life and who God is and what he's given
and
us.
And our salvation. Are you kidding me?
And those transcend prison.
Yes. Yeah. For Paul, they sure did.
As I hear, Bruce, you mentioned get out of the rut. You got to get out of this grumbling and complaining rut. I talk to myself kind of like the psalmist. For me, Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2, because the psalmist kind of is talking to himself and reminding himself, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
And then he starts naming the benefits. I find myself that when I'm in that rut of complaining and grumbling, I just got to say, Jaime, think about what the Lord has done and what he's doing in your life, and start naming those benefits and letting them come out of my mouth. And
yeah.
Help get out of that rut.
Well, and it's speaking it out loud is a great idea. There, you know, Psalm 107, 1 through 3 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hands of the foe. So that's something that we can do, like Bruce and Tamara do. Speak those stories, have those meaningful conversations with people. And when things start to go, my mother is just the greatest at this. She's so sweet. And when she's out to lunch with some of her lady friends and she feels the conversation turning a little bit negative or a little bit complainy, she will turn it around into like, what can we be grateful for today, ladies? Or, oh my goodness, look at this wonderful centerpiece on the table and garden flower, you know, I mean, which can seem a little silly, but it's like, it's a great way to flip the script. And so that's something that we can all do. We can speak those stories. The redeemed of the Lord can tell their stories. And that just encourages all.
I find that even in prayer for me with the Lord, just me and God, that sometimes my prayer can degenerate into just requests.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. So I've started in the last couple months that in what, like today is Tuesday. So this morning when I was praying and journaling, I was thinking about Monday, the day before. And I thought, what am I thankful for from yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a simple practice of in my morning prayers, think back to the day before. And as I think through that day, even like look at my calendar or on Outlook or whatever, I think, oh yeah, I had that great conversation, and oh, that was a sweet moment, and it's really been good for my soul these last couple months to do that.
Yes, yes. Mark, what about you? You got a verse you want to share?
I've got a couple in Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness at night. Things that means a lot to me is good to give thanks to God. Matter of fact, that's appropriate theology, really.
Mm-hmm.
It puts perspective. That is a good thing that we do, and I need to remember that. And then in Colossians, in chapter 1, we just studied to giving thanks to the Father who is qualified us to be in the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm.
I think in perspective that we have been qualified for things that we far don't deserve.
Yeah, haven't earned.
And it's a blessing to us. That's an appropriate way to put yourself underneath God.
Yes.
I think that's a perspective of life that I need to be reminded of often.
Yes, especially when we feel entitled and we're like,
right.
You know, you're like, well, it's actually God who qualified you for all
that's
the good
that's
things.
That's right. And if I'm really ticked off about something, I've lost perspective about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I think there's also a danger in not being grateful. I think the scriptures talk about that as well. Romans 1 mm-hmm. is a great example of that, where he talks about sort of humanity in general
mm-hmm.
and how that humankind, although they knew God, you know, God had, and it says in the verses before that God has provided evidence of his existence. They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And I think that's fascinating that Paul specifically calls out that lack of gratitude. And then he says the result of that is that their thinking becomes futile, their foolish hearts are darkened. Although they claim to be wise, they become fools, and they exchange the glory of the mortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds. So idolatry, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that goes back to what you were saying early on, Bruce, about how if you don't give thanks to the giver, right, the stuff becomes the thing, mm-hmm. and the stuff can become an idol. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's some, you know, not only gratitude is a good habit and something that will benefit us, but not being grateful to God can actually lead us down a dark path. So anybody else have a verse or something they'd like to share?
I think maybe going to the end of Romans, you started in Romans 1, which is more vertical, and Romans 16, the last chapter, is more horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul gives thanks to people, for people.
Mm-hmm.
And he names them one after another after another. And I think another practice for gratitude is giving thanks to people for what God's done through them. And Paul recognizes his co-workers and dear friends, and they worked hard, and he calls out what they've done for the Lord and how they've been a blessing to him. And I think that's a rich practice, that when we're with each other, to think, what can I say thanks to somebody for? We're mm-hmm. saying, I'm so thankful, and then fill in the blank for them. This Thanksgiving, when you're around the table on Thursday and maybe Friday eating the leftovers, I think it's great to take a moment to be thankful to God, and even also to take a moment to be thankful for each other.
Yeah. And I know sometimes relationships can be fraught and there can be some real hurt between people, but you can always find something usually to be grateful for, mm-hmm. you know, unless it's just a thoroughly toxic relationship. But most of the time, even if you have, you know, as the kids say, even if you have beef with somebody, you can find something to say, I appreciate you for X. And a lot of times that can be the first step in healing a relationship, is just acknowledging, hey, you may have done some things, or I may have done some things, we may have had some issues, but one step to reconciliation is acknowledging that there is also good in you and in us and in our relationship. Mm. So, yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about what we personally are thankful for. This has been a really big year here at Christ Fellowship. And I know we all have things that have happened in our own ministries and in our own personal lives to be grateful for. So, Jaime, do you want to kick us off? What's a couple of things that you're grateful for?
Well, I have a big list, Lisa. How much time do we have?
I know, right? 3 hours later.
Because I am truly grateful. You know, Bruce, right now, with the horizontalness aspect of gratitude, Alan Stanley has a phrase that really has stuck with me over the years. While I heard it from him, other people have a version of it also, but unexpressed gratitude is perceived as ingratitude.
Mm.
And when you're quiet and you don't say thank you, right, or I appreciate you, and I'm just so thankful. Well, first to the Lord for what He's done and how He's provided for our spiritual family, Christ Fellowship. We've gone through a whole year of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, many churches. Some closed and some suffered, had a lot of cuts and attendance and so forth, and people are not to be found. And I'm really thankful for how God has sustained us during this time of going through the pandemic, guys. We went through an unprecedented pandemic,
yes.
Guys, and God has been faithful to us. So thank you to God for what He's done. And I'm also thankful for the many, many volunteers who have stepped
yes.
in and in the gaps and have showed leadership and are willing to love on others. And there's a gratitude in my heart for the leaders and the volunteers who are just risen to the cause, and God is using them to be able to bring an impact in our community. And on a personal, I'm just thankful that the Lord has kept my family together, and each one of my two boys and my wife continue to grow and maintain our relationship as a family. Although they're older now, and you know, as parents, we see them a little less. More, you know, they
yes.
grow more independent. But thankful that the Lord has kept them, and they've learned through trials and tribulations as they grow. But the Lord has kept them, and so just thankful for some of those things that I just mentioned right now.
Yes, lots to be grateful for. What about you, Bruce? What are you thankful for?
Yeah, I mean, my heart is just overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness. I love being a husband to Tamara and a dad to our five kids and grandfather to eight grandkids, brand new grandson this year, and the joy of that and the joy of being at Christ Fellowship. I love being a pastor at Christ Fellowship, and gosh, I'm so thankful for what's happening in Moms Connection. I'm thankful what's happening in our student ministry. I'm thankful for how the vision is just catching fire and people are really encouraging each other and having meaningful conversations. And so many people have signed up to be CF encouragers. It's just really, I'm incredibly grateful for the amazing, wonderful people of Christ Fellowship that God has called together and all the new people that are coming. We're seeing new people every week. And it's just an incredible joy.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Mark?
There's a couple of things I'm thinking. One is involved with church. There was a death in one of our congregations. This lady lost her husband. And that was really sad. But the other day she came and she said, I wanted to address the congregation. And I said, sure. She just said, I want to say thank you. Her name's Bella. I don't think she'd mind me mentioning this. Her husband for 47 years, great guy.
Wow.
She got up and told that congregation how much she cares. She appreciated that they reached out and sent her meals and took care of them. She said, I've never been so loved by church in my life. And I was just appreciative of all the people that did that with me even asking them. I just told them there was a need and the people came around them and helped them. I was very grateful for that. And on a personal note, about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in my living room. The sun was shining through, and I got this overwhelming sense of, you know, my wife and I have been enjoying just seeing and being involved with our kids' lives in the way that they've progressed and are growing up. And I thought, you know what? This has been a real stressful couple of years, but in the midst of all that, I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't realize, I didn't even ask for this, God, but you've blessed me in ways that I didn't even know. And being a participant in these people's lives, we call them our children, but they're really not ours. But me to be involved with them and enjoy life with them and seeing them grow and do things, I just kind of overwhelmed with that. And I just had to say, thanks. Thank you. These are ways that I would have never imagined. You've blessed me in ways I didn't even ask for. And it was so much bigger than my mind could get around. I just said, hey, thank you for that. I wouldn't want to miss that for the world.
Yeah. What a beautiful moment that God just sort of opened that up for you so that you could have that and recognize that. And I agree. There's just so many ways that God blesses us. Above and beyond.
And how about you, Lisa? What are you thankful for?
I could go on and on and on. My life is full and rich, and I am blessed. I have the most amazing husband. I could not go on more. Well, I could, but he would hate that because he's a very humble guy. But he is the best husband. I mean, I'm sure you guys are great and all, but my husband is amazing. My kids, like all of you, just seeing them grow up, developing relationships with them. You know, mine are now all teenagers and I have one that's now almost 21. And developing relationships with them and seeing how those relationships change as they grow is such a blessing and so cool to have just a different dynamic there and to see how God is moving in their lives. I love the people of Christ Fellowship. I love our staff. I am very grateful for the staff. We have so many people working behind the scenes that you may not even know. And they love Jesus and they love you. And I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to come together and work hard for Jesus and for the people of Christ Fellowship and the people of our community. It really is a privilege. And it's not always easy. And I think coming out of the pandemic and all the separation that we experienced and not being able to be together and doing everything on Zoom. I mean, I'm sorry that you're back to that this week, but just for a couple of days. But yeah, I think having just, it's really heightened my appreciation for just being in the same room with people. And just how important that kind of fellowship is. And guys, we are appreciative of you. And thankful for you who are listening. Thank you, early adopters of the Pastor's Pregame podcast. thank you for listening. If you would help us out by letting other people know, if you benefit from our conversations, please share it. Share it on your social media. Let your friends know this might be something they would enjoy.
We would be thankful.
We would be thankful and grateful. And I'm thankful for my fellow podcasters here.
I'm thankful really for Lisa, for you helping this get started. It wouldn't have happened without you. So thank you for taking the initiative to get this podcast going and being such an amazing podcast host.
But we're so grateful to our Christ Fellowship family. Thank you guys. Thank you for your commitment to God, your commitment to the gospel, your desire to learn and grow. That blesses us to see you mature spiritually alongside all of us and developing those relationships. And like Mark, you were saying, becoming a family where we really look out for each other. We bear each other's burdens. We take care of one another. That's what the body of Christ should be. And it so blesses me when I see that. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to our dear listeners. And we will be back. And we are going to have a special guest because we're going to have a special guest preacher because we are starting a brand new sermon series. Bruce, can you give a little 30-second plug for our next sermon series?
Yeah, for Conversations with Chris, with Jesus. It's Conversations with Jesus, and so it's some of the early conversations Jesus had in the Gospels, and we'll be both two things. We'll be looking at how did Jesus have those conversations, but more deeply, who is Jesus?
Yes. Love to learn more about Jesus, right? Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Mark, would you pray for us and all our listeners as they go into the Thanksgiving season?
Sure will. Lord, we're thankful for all the things that you've done for us that we don't even know. The life you have for us in the future, that we're here today, Father, that's a mercy, that's a grace. It's not something that's deserved. Lord, we pray this Thanksgiving season that you will bless your people. Help us, no matter what's going on, to have gratitude toward you, that we're not entitled to anything, but you have been merciful and kind, and that you have our entire lives before you and our greatest good ahead. God be with us, and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We'll see you back next week. Thanks, Jaime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.